thank you for this place, God. We thank you that you've given us a place, Father, where we can be ourselves, where we can let our guard down, God, where our hearts can be rejuvenated and made alive through ways that only you have. So, Father, tonight we invite you to stay in this place, Holy Spirit, to speak to us, to move in us and through us. God, that we can have an experience, an encounter with you, Lord, so we can leave this place and take what we got in here out there, so out there can begin to look a little bit more like in here. So, Father, we thank you for the opportunity we have to be called children of a living God. God, we give you this time. Speak to us, because we really need to hear from you. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said,
amen.
Part three, you belong. Now, tonight, a little bit different, because I want to read from you a scripture down in Ephesians. You guys got your Bibles, because I know you do. Ephesians, that's right. Starts with an E, ends with Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. Go ahead, open up your phone and your Bible. Whatever you got to do your thing. I want to read to you a verse real quick because, the past couple weeks we've been talking about belonging. And it's kind of funny because of all the places a person should feel at home, it should be the church. And I know that sounds kind of strange because a lot of people don't really agree with that. But the church is not just a building, but it's a people. Let me see. You could take the building away, but as long as we're here, we're in church. We're having church. We are the church, right? It's a group of people that get together underneath Jesus Christ to do things that Jesus did. And that's what makes the church the church. Not the building, not whether we got a steeple or whether we have chairs or pews or whether you kneel, sit, stand, or whether you just stand and jump or whatever the case is. That doesn't make a church. Church is the people. It's people with Jesus Christ in the center. That's what the church is. And see, that's why people should feel at home. Because the truth is we're all different, come from different cities. I mean, this church must, I mean, there's like six different school districts that go to this church every week. It's bizarre, and that's just senior high, you know. Over a dozen high schools that gather together just to go to, I mean, we all come from different places, do different things. We look different from different families, different cities, different neighborhoods, different backgrounds, different hair colors. You know, different toe lengths. I mean, it's all different. And the crazy thing is, with all of our differences, we have one big thing in common, and that's Jesus Christ. And that's why we can say, you know what? Hopefully, I pray that hopefully, if not today, then someday, you could say, you know what? This is like a family to me, because I know this is what it's like to me. And no matter what you've done or where what you've been through, there's a similarity in this place that we're all in the same boat, going in the same direction. Everybody belongs. I like to put it this way: is that there's always room for one more at the feet of Jesus. Now, I love what Pastor Jim, our senior pastor, says. He says that you are never a stranger in your Father's house. That's church. You're never a stranger. Even if this is your first time, maybe this is new and different to you, it doesn't matter. You're not a stranger here because you belong. You belong where Jesus is. So if you look at it, this is where Ephesians comes in. You know, Jesus Christ, Jesus himself, 2,000 years ago when he walked on the earth, He talked to so many different people. He talked to a prostitute named Mary. He saved her life. And he also talked to this guy who was like a Bible college professor named Nicodemus. He talked to him, and they both loved Jesus. Jesus loved them. You know, he talked to a man who was a poor beggar with basically practically a cardboard sign on the side of the freeway. Blind Bartimaeus. Brother was blind. He didn't have a job. Couldn't get a job. Nobody liked him. People wanted him to shut up. People around him didn't even want him to talk. But Jesus did. And Jesus could get along with this poor blind beggar and then all of a sudden turn around and find this uppity, rich snob named Zacchaeus. This guy was a tax collector. Brother had bank. Okay? And nobody liked him except himself. And Jesus could hang with a blind, homeless man and a rich, short, snobby dude named Zach. Look. Jesus covers all the bases, man. I don't care where you come from, how much money you have or don't have. I don't care. I don't care what your style is. Is Jesus? Jesus got your back. And this is where Ephesians comes in. Ephesians the fourth chapter. Some really good stuff. It says Ephesians 4:7. It says this. It says to each one. To each one, I got something stuck in my throat. I think it's and each one. To each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. That's everybody. Now, I think, let me see. All right, cool. Okay. It looks like, upon my inspection, everybody's in each one in here. Yeah, you guys all fit into the category of everyone. Okay, good. With that done, that means this is for you. Everyone, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, this is what God says. God says that he, Jesus, ascended on high. He led captivity captive. You know what that says? That means ain't nobody got an excuse. And he gave gifts to men. Gifts. Merry Christmas. You have a gift. Now, it goes on and says in verse 11, it says, now, he himself, that's Jesus. Jesus gave some of you apostles, prophets, evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Hey, for the equipping. Look at that. For the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. Wait a minute. Who's supposed to do the ministry? The saints. Pastor Richard, that dude that's on my necklace? No, not that guy. He's dead. That's preposterous. No, that's you. Hey, look, if you have Jesus in your heart, if you call yourself a Christian, if you like God, if you're living for God, you are a saint. I know, maybe you're a lady, you're a saintess, okay? You're a Santa Barbara. That's what you are. And it says that you are equipped to do the ministry. Everybody has a gift. Everybody, nobody's left out. I don't care if people said you were an accident. That don't matter, because you are not an accident to God. You may have been a surprise to your mom, but you weren't like a surprise to God. Whoa, how did that guy get out? I wasn't expecting him. That wasn't supposed to happen. No, ain't nobody an accident to Jesus. He knows. You were not a mess up, a screw up. You weren't an oops. You weren't somebody that's not supposed to happen. No, you were supposed to happen because God had a gift that he needed to get to you. Wait. Not just to you, but through you. That's why he equipped you, gave you something. They told you to do something with it. You see, that's how you know you belong. Because there's a lot of work to do. Look, man, I'll go outside these doors. Everything's jacked up. Gas is too expensive. Man, clothes are too expensive. Man, bread is too expensive. Man, don't even get me started. Everything is too expensive. People are too mean. People are rude. You don't want to get up and go to school because school is stupid. You don't want to listen to your parents because you think they don't know nothing. Sometimes your friend's a punk. Your boyfriend, he's a jerk. Your girlfriend, forget about her. You don't want to talk to her because she talked too much. Everything's jacked up. But that's why God's equipped us to take the things that are wrong and to bring his kingdom where is it. Everybody's got a gift. Everybody belongs because God needs everybody to do what they're supposed to do to see God's will happen. Well, Pastor Richard, why doesn't God just do it? Well, he's trying to. It's been said that God won't do anything until somebody steps up to do it with him. It's crazy. Ever since the garden, God chose to never do anything alone. God made all of creation, and the first thing he did is said, all right, Adam, me and you, we're partners. Let's get this thing going. The problems in this world are because we haven't asked God to give us the strength to do it. Everybody belongs. I'm talking about my friend here, Mr. Mata, and he's been bugging me ever since camp. Pastor Richard, when you gonna let me preach? Pastor Richard, when are you going to let me preach? He starts texting me, Pastor Richard, I got a message. What do you think about it? Pastor Richard, how about this? What do you think about this? And he emails me, Pastor Richard, you don't respond to my text messages. How about this? No, I'm just kidding. I responded to him. Pastor Richard, how come you do the ice challenge? Shut up! That's a joke. Little Sebastian's not here, is he? So he's not, yeah, that's right. He's not bugging me today about that. Okay, but Mr. Mata, He had this, and you know, we talked about it a little bit. He got it. He wrote it. He preached it to like five people already. So I'm like, all right, bro, you're going to preach to other people. How about you preach it to us? Because the truth is this, is that it's not the pastor's job. It's not the teacher's or the prophet's or evangelist's job to do the work of the ministry. No. Our job is to be a gift to get you guys to do something. Because I can't go to your school. They won't let me in. I've tried. I can't go into your family because, look, your house is full enough as it is. You don't got no room for me. You know, I can't talk to your friends because then that'd be weird. By me talking to your friends, I'm old. That'd be creepy. I don't want to be that guy. But you guys can. You guys need to. You guys ought to. Because you guys are called to do great things. It's your job to do ministry. It's your job to change your world. It's your job to stand up and allow God to bring his kingdom into your place. Your life, your friends' lives, your school's lives are jacked up. Then how about you stand up and become a minister? We had this old saying back at our church. When it was back in Loma Linda, and it was the question was this: who here is a full-time minister? And the answer was, woo! Do you know why? Because you are. You don't got to be a pastor to be a full-time minister. You just got to be a saint. You just got to be saved. So if I was to ask you, who here is a full-time minister, what would you tell me? Thank you! Thank you, all five of you in the house! Martha, I'm trying to warm them up for you, bro. I'm trying to warm them up. I'm trying to warm them up for you. Because his brother, look, he's already got the microphone. He's ready to push me off. Just because he got a chain the other day. I saw that Instagram. Looking good. All right. But let me do this. As an example, and I don't think I can preach anything better than what I've already said today. I think it's time for you to step aside because this is where it all breaks down. Is it's your guys' job to be the ministers in this church. So with that said, you know, everybody belongs in their place. And one of the places here is Mr. Robert Mata. You got a word from God today? You going to bring this today? Let's give it for Mr. Mata up in the house, the bishop himself, to come present the word. So you better listen, because he's going to preach. Get it going, man.
How's everybody doing today? All right, I want to start out with, I'm new to the thing, so I kind of don't want to feel as nervous. So if you guys could just be like clapping your hands when I don't make sense. But first I want to pray, because it's not really about what I come to say. It's about what the Lord says. So can you guys bow your heads and let me pray your blessing over the message. Thank you, God, for putting me in this position. I want to thank you that for all the brilliant ideas you've been giving me in my my journey and walk with you, God. And I ask that everything I say is not from me, not about me, or anything that I say is not from what I say. It's from what God says. And like you say in Jeremiah, no one's too young to be a preacher. Amen. All right, so how many of you guys went to camp? It's a good time, huh? Good time, huh? Meet new friends and eat raw chicken. how many of you guys got sick out there? I thought it was fish too. All right, let me get back on topic. All right, so I've been really thinking about what people have been telling me in camp, that you're something amazing. You're going to do something. You're going to amount to something. So I opened up my word one day, and I was just sitting there reading. I was actually reading in the book of John. If you could put it up the overheads, John 1:4. All right, so this verse really stood out to me, because how much of you guys know that God's words are important, and it's always good to abide by his rules, not our rules, not the law. I'm not telling you guys to break laws, but as you follow in God, you'll see more and more faith you'll have in him, because he won't let you down. Maybe he might not give it to you at this certain time or when you want it, but God's all about timing. God will give it to you when when he thinks you're ready. So I've been reading through the verses, and in John 1:4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Can you go to the next one? And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness is not comprehended it. So what I'm saying is that if you are full-hearted for God, then you have all this faith. You're fired up. You're pumped up. You're like, oh, I'm all for Jesus. Well, if you give your life to God and Jesus, no darkness will ever enter your life. I'm telling you. Like, so at times in life when I was going through rough times, doing bad things, doing nonsense, stupid stuff, I could tell you guys, God spoke to me the most. I always thought that I had another day. I was like, oh, I'll smoke this. I got tomorrow. I ain't, like, I live tomorrow. But what I've learned throughout the years and the days is that you're not promised tomorrow. So it's always good to be about, how many of you guys want to get somewhere when you guys, I'm telling you, like, I don't want to be going up to the gates and God's all like, all right, bring me the book of lambs. Ooh, depart from me, I never knew you. Dang, I got chills thinking about that right now. Yeah, so if you're full-hearted for God, nothing bad, nothing evil should enter your life. I'm not saying that you guys are going to sin, but it'll be a lesser sin. It wouldn't be as bad as it was than that one. All right, so I want to go to my first point, and it says God's words are effective. Ooh, they already got it up there. Thank you. So I was doing some research in my Bible, and I was like, I was pumped when I got out of camp. So I was like, I went to my Bible. I was like, speak to me, Jesus, speak to me. So I was running back and forth, pacing myself. You can ask my brother. I was on top of it. I was like, Jesus, speak to me. Cause you know what? Over the years, Pastor Richard, he'll be preaching, and I feel like just going, let me preach. Like, I wanna preach too. Like I love my pastor. There was another coincidence with me and him. He was over there in the he was doing something. But then I remember I was talking to myself, and I was talking with my brother, and I was like, oh, Tio Richard, come here, Tio. Like, he's considered as an uncle to me because how he's been in my life. So off topic. Can you take me to Genesis? Genesis 1:4, please, ladies and gentlemen. And God saw the light, that it was good, and the good divided the light from the darkness. Next one, please. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first days. What this is speaking to me is that God's words really are effective, really are. He says there's going to be light and there's light. He says that everything he says comes to play quicker and quicker and quicker if you're in him. So when you're full-hearted and your prayer's up there and you're just doing everything for him, he got your back. He's there for you. He won't. He never forsakes you, even though you run away from what he has from you. He never leaves you. He's there. He's always behind you. He's always with you. So that's what I wanted to tell you guys. And all right. So I was telling you guys that God's words are effective. I wanted to tell you guys, God is our Lord of lords and kings of kings, right? So who would be afraid to worship a king that you guys are like what I don't get, because I've done it too. Like, you guys are full-hearted for God. You're all, yeah, God, 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 God. And then you have one bad day, and you're like, oh, you put him aside. You're supposed to put him before everything because he's there with you. And there was, when I went up the mountain, there was, like, problems with my family. There was divorce in the air. There was a lot of conflict with my mom and my dad, and I remember going up to, like, they opened up the prayer, they were singing, and I remember that they opened up, like, a row full of pastors from Riverside, Coachella, from San Bernardino, and I remember that day so good, because I don't think my buddy Sal's here today, and I asked for prayer from him, I asked for prayer from P. Rich, my boy Mark, and I cannot remember at the top of my head, but I remember when I was going down that mountain. This is like the trippiest story ever, right? Because like I think I'll never, because my mom and my dad couldn't handle it in a car for a while without arguing. So I remember I'm playing soccer and we're getting ready to leave. Like they're like, oh yeah, pack your bags, pack your bags. And then I see my mom and my dad come up and I was like, that's a miracle. God could work in so many weird ways when he wants to. So my I want to take you to my next point, the light. Ooh, you like that picture, huh? It was nice up there, huh? God puts beautiful images in your head. So I want to take you to John chapter 3:19. And this, the condemnation that the light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. You know, when you go away from, when you run away from God's light, like you start going smoking with your buddies, drinking with your buddies, when you start doing that type of stuff, like you get more attracted to the evil. You start feeding on it, and it starts feeding on you. And God doesn't like none of that stuff. He's all about honesty, respect to your parents and stuff like that. And that's some of the things I was not doing. I was talking back to my parents. Doing this, going out to parties, living the vida loca, as you can see. And you know, it was really tough on my brother because Mark was talking to me one day. I still remember the conversation to this day, but he was like, I was like, oh, Mark, help me. I'm stuck in something. And he comes up to me. He was like, the only thing I have for you is, does Jesus approve of that? And if he doesn't, then why are you doing it? So we kept on talking and talking and talking about the situation, and he was like this. Say, what happens if your brother was to figure out that you did that stuff? And it touched me, in a way, because no one has spoken to me like that in a while. And I felt it, like, it was like, hold me, Mark. I literally was asking him to hold me, and it was good. It was good. Mark, love you. Well, all right, on topic again. I want to tell you guys how wonderful and strong and God's word is out of this world. Like, you see those stickers? Out of this world. And thank you, Pastor Joe, for this water. Oh, he's not in here, huh? No, but like, they say that for a reason, because our God is out of this world. He expand, like, I don't know, it's like light years away and stuff. Well, how did our God manage to do all that stuff? Make galaxies, planets, nebulas, I think that's what those are called. And like unbelievable things. And I remember, because I was with my mom the other, I think we went to SeaWorld that week. And we were, oh my God, I'm getting off topic too much, right, guys? But this describes the point. But like, we were out there, and I remember we saw like a weird animal. And my mom had said something. She was like, "No, this animal is beautiful. Like, I've never seen an animal like this before." But my mom's like, "Look how much detail God gets into stuff like this. Like, look how much he just doesn't get into detail with animals. He gets into detail with your life and with our lives. So we should never run away from what God has from us." All right, so I want to put up my next slide. It's called Jesus is Important. All right, so I think some people look at Jesus in different ways, but he's the one that died for us. He's the one that got whooped, beat, and mistreated, spit in his face. So what I'm trying to tell you guys is, If you're a Christian, things are going to happen. I'm telling you that right now. People are going to disagree with you. People are not going to be not agreeing with you half of the time that you know is true. But I was getting in an argument with my cousin one day, and he was offending Jesus. So, you know what, I actually stood quiet. I'm going to be honest with you guys. I stood quiet when I should be standing up for him. But we had got into the car. My mom had got me into the car. And she was like, "Why didn't you stick up for him? Why weren't you there? He's always there for you. Why couldn't you just do that?" So I was thinking. And something popped into my head. He was like, I heard him at the top of my head. He was like, How can I give them all the knowledge in the world? Because if I gave them all the knowledge, they would abuse of it. So what I'm trying to tell you guys is that God, Jesus is the middle in this situation. Like, he's the top dog. He's everything on top of everything. And Jesus should be important in our life, as well as in mine and yours. And it's always good to follow the light and never depart from him. Don't be like Jonah, running away from what God has for you in life. This is my third point. All right, so I would love to stay up here and preach more, but I'm going to have to hand it down to Pastor Richard.
Let's give it up.
Come on, let's give it up.
I like that. That's a good word. Shoot. That's a good word. See, here's the bottom line. The Bible tells us this. The Bible says that you and I, is that we're letters. We're a written letter. I've said it before. I'll say it again. And it says that we're an epistle. Epistle is the Bible word for a letter. And when people hear us, when people hear us speak, when people see our lives speak the truth or our lives speak a lie. You know, with Robert, he's chosen to receive something from God. He's chosen to say, this is the way life was, this is the way life God can make it. And I like it much better this way than that way. He's been a person that, whether it be his cousin or his brother, whether it be the people at his school or whatever the case is, he wants people to remember him for the things that God's done in his life. And God's given him a gift. And he has chosen to be equipped to use it. The question is not whether or not God's given you something, because I don't care what you're into. Right now, you need to know that God has given you something. And God, you know, what worse is a gift that's been given that's never been used? That's the worst thing you can do to a gift. A gift has been given to be opened and used. In this place, you belong. You belong because God desires. God wants. I almost even want to say God needs you to stand up and say, what next? What do you want me to do? Because a lot of us can say, look, you know what? That's just some sophomore talking some mess. You can say, you know what? I could do better than that. You could say, you know what, Pastor, I could do better than you, and I'd probably agree with you. But the truth of the matter is this. You need to shut up until you got the guts to stand up and do something about it. See, I don't listen to people that are all talk. You know, Robert said it. You stand before God. You say, well, God, with this, but you know what? And you look at the books. When you look at that book, let's find out what really happened. Because I'm sure people pray all day and they have their prayers. God, I'll never do it again. God, if only, God, why, how come this? You know what? But that doesn't mean one thing. What means something is a person that stands up and says, God, you've given me something great. Now I'm ready to go out and do something with it. Each of you guys got a gift. You found a place that you belong and a place here in church with these people to where you can use it. You can change the world around you. You can change the lives of your family members. You could change the lives of your friends. You can have your own very life changed if you would just stand up and say, God, you gave me something. Now, God, how can I use it? You know, whether it's up here with the band, whether it's preaching, whether it's going out and just finding people that don't know what know anybody. Look, whether it's working the computers in the back, whether it's going out on Saturdays and giving food to the homeless and the needy, whether it's doing puppets in the children's museum, whether it's just saying, you know, I'm gonna go to my school, I'm gonna find people, and I'm gonna be nice to the people that nobody's nice to. It's a decision to say, look, God has called me to be somebody, and I refuse one more day to live like a nobody. Ephesians says that your job is to minister. All it means is to minister. It means is to find a need and to fill a need. That's all ministry means. It's just finding a need and filling a need. That's what the word ministry is. Nothing phenomenal or nothing like glowy or shiny or magic fairy dust about it. All it means is a person that is led by God that finds a need and fills a need. So today, you know you belong. Today, you know you have a family that's willing to encourage you. Today, you know that you've been given something. So now you need to get up and do it. That's what I'm here for. So Jasmine's here for. It's Pastor Michelle's here for. That's what Cynthia's here for. That's what the person next to you is here for, is to get you doing something that changes the lives of people around you. You know, in the beginning, God spoke, let there be light, and he did it. And then here, God speaks. He says, you have no more excuses, because today's captive. I'm giving you gifts. God spoke and said, now you need to get up, get out, and do something, because you never do it alone. Now, I'm waiting for the day to see who's going to take my place. I'm waiting for the day to see who is going to say, Pastor Richard, you're old. Ain't nobody like you no more. I'm here to take your job. I'm waiting for the day for somebody to push Angel aside and say, look, Angel, I love your girl, but it's time to retire. Go off to the main sanctuary because we're going to take this from here. I'm waiting for the day to where I say, Pastor Richard, look, you need to have more mission trips because right now zero mission trips is not enough. I'm waiting for people to say, Pastor Richard, how come you aren't? How come my Christian club at school sucks? How about we make it cool? God, I'm waiting for somebody to say, you know, Pastor Richard, we need somebody, anybody from the church to come down and pray with the football team because these people are the sorriest bunch of sinners I need and we need to win this season. I'm waiting for somebody to say, Pastor Richard, look, what do I say to my teacher because I don't like them, but I want to like them and they need to get saved. I'm waiting for somebody to say, Pastor Richard, I'm going to be the next pastor of the Rock Church plant that you guys are going to put out. Because the people that are sitting in this room right now belong here. The people that are sitting in this room right now are the beginning of the greatest year this church has ever seen. The people are in this room are the next businessmen and businesswomen, the next mothers and fathers. You're the next pastors and evangelists and worship leaders. You guys are the next valedictorians of your schools. I know you don't realize that, but you can be. You guys are the next, you know, team captains of your teams. Some of you guys are in this place are going to be the first one in your family to graduate out of high school. Some of you are going to be the first one in your family to graduate out of college. Some of you in this place are going to be the first one in your family to be a doctor. But it all starts when you realize that we don't have to sit down and let life happen to us because there's a place you belong and you are more than a nobody. You are a somebody. You are a child of God. You have been called from the very beginning of time and you have been called because you have been given grace to do what you cannot do. You have been given grace by God to do what you cannot do, to do the impossible, to change people's perspectives and say, look, if God can do that for you, what can he do in me? Because what you did should not have happened. Angel, get up here and play. Please. Thank you. Get me all fired up. Give me something gospel. No, don't. Just play something pretty. I didn't bring my sweat rag with me today, so I got to be careful. Bible says God gave grace to us, the power to do what his gift enables us to, so we can be a minister, a person that sees a need and fills a need. Because there's room at the foot of the cross. And heaven is waiting for its next drug dealer. Heaven is waiting for its next drama queen. Heaven is waiting for its next perfectionist. Heaven is waiting for the next person that nobody liked to lay down their life and surrender to God's will. There's enough room at the foot of the cross for everybody. Because nobody's too bad. Nobody's too far gone. Nobody's too far out there. Nobody is too unloved. Nobody is too dirty or nasty. Nobody is too stupid. Nobody's too ugly. Amen. For Jesus. The only people that there's no room in heaven for. The only people that there's no room in heaven for. The only people that there's no room in heaven for are the people that want to do it by themselves. Those people don't fit into heaven. They don't. So in this place, the sooner you and I realize that we need God, the sooner we realize that we love darkness more than we love light, the sooner we're willing to say, God, I can't get myself nowhere, I need you, the better off we'll be. So if you're in this place and you've been running from God instead of to God, I'm talking to you. If you're in this place and you